It's time now to talk with Manchester Essex High School football coach Jeff Hutton. And coach, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm great, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, you, like several other coaches and people, like Danvers football coach, Ipswich football coach, you teach in one town and you coach in another. And so you have really two basic jobs, and you know, I know that you don't get paid full time for coaching, but it's a full-time job. So you guys both have full-time jobs. And I'm wondering, let's talk a little bit about your day job, Jeff. How is that going, up at where is it, North Andover?
Yeah, I teach at North Andover High School. This is my 13th year there and my 21st year teaching PE overall. And I think a lot of people are pretty similar. We're on a hybrid model, so we've had half the kids in on Monday, the other half on Tuesday. We go full remote on Wednesday, and it just keeps repeating itself.
And so far, things are you're getting by. I mean, kids, they're getting something done as opposed to I mean, last spring was kind of a mess in March.
Oh, of course. You look at there; they're just happy to be there. A lot of them just to be around, to socially interact. You know, socially distanced, but not socially isolated, as the pictures say on every floor. But you know, Okay. Yeah, the interaction is key. You could tell the moods are just totally different than what they would be back in the spring when we were just sitting there looking at a computer screen every day.
So how do you do that as a physical education teacher? What are some of the adjustments you've had to make?
It's really a brand new curriculum. You know, I'm,
yep.
Obviously, if we tried to submit payment for that, they'd laugh at us, but we may try that later on down the road.
Yep.
You know, you try to break it up. You don't want to give them lessons all the time. So we show them videos, and they have to do little article reviews, and, you know, we do open discussions. We try to pick topics that they like to talk about. And you know, when they're in school, and the other half is not right now, they have an activity log assignment, so they're required or expected, I should say, to perform at least a half hour of some type of physical activity.
Okay.
And they have to log it, and they break it down into different categories, and then they have to do a reflection at the end of the week on their progress.
Jeez, that sounds like a tough course.
Yeah, not just roll the ball out.
Right. All right. Okay.
But guys, we took a lot of science classes, you know.
Yes. Well, I know. As you say, it's a new curriculum, but yeah, you got to figure it out. Here it is. Yeah. The mandate. Mandate without money.
We can pull it from right now. We're making it up as we go.
I know. Well, coach, this is one, at one point, I'm very glad I'm retired. I don't think I could be doing it, but in talking, I'm a performer, you know, I got to get out there in front of the kids, five times a day, you know?
Okay.
But in talking with coaches, Jeff, across the spectrum here so far, in terms of fall one with our football teams, one of the things that's been consistent is there seems to be a new tool that coaches can use in terms of the Zoom process. And I wonder, have you taken advantage of that, or are you guys strictly out in the field doing drills?
No, we did some of that leading up. Throughout the spring, just to keep in contact with the kids, you know, make sure, just checking in,
because,
you know, the mental health aspect of it, and then throughout the summer, because we still weren't sure, so we tried to keep them in the loop, and then when we found out that there wasn't going to be a football season, it was a whole other, okay, guys, we need to talk, let's get through this, let's figure this out. And then, you know, the seniors that were worried about colleges, because now some of those schools that we're going to recruit, they're not practicing, or they've already been said there's no season, and now how's that going to work out? So there was a whole other Zoom meeting with those guys. And then it was, we got to the school year, and some towns were allowed to practice, and then we weren't originally, and I think some of the parents kind of, you know, made it happen, so we were able to have fall practices with the football team this year. So we did a little bit on the Zoom, and then we still kind of can use that as a tool, which is great. Now that we're done with our fall practices, but it was really good to just get out and see each other and just be around each other.
Yeah, everybody's saying that. Let's assume, coach, that you're going to have fall too, that we're going to play some football. I don't know how many games, but we're going to play football late February, early March, and so on, late March. What's the transition from here to there? Because as you say, this is all fly by the seat of your pants. This is brand new stuff. As a coach, as a longtime coach, assistant head coach, and so on, I mean, you've got a rhythm, you know, for each month of the year. So what's the plan now?
We just got to figure out when or if they're going to let coaches do any type of working out. I mean, where are you going to put them? Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many restrictions with indoor sports as far as with basketball, and that's not even going to start until December 14th. And then when are we going to be able to utilize the weight room, or if it's a nice day, can we go out and use the field? So those are things that are not even been considered yet, because they're still trying to figure out how they're going to get this basketball thing up and running. So unfortunately, we're going to take a step back, but we kind of take time off anyway from the season. Like, I usually give the guys from Thanksgiving till right before Christmas break, you know, the next holiday break, to get their grades in order, rest, do a little recovery, go play. They tend to want to go to the MAC and play sports, or it's my opportunity to force them to go play another sport instead of sitting home being lazy.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword for me. I get everything I want out of that.
Okay. That makes sense. That's good. So I love it when we talk to coaches who are proponents of playing, you know, multi-sport athletes. I love it. It's so important in my mind.
You don't have to look at some of these other big schools that we have to shoot.
Well, yeah, this is true.
I wish other coaches in that town would be more willing to share with the football town team, but it's getting better. It's
definitely okay. Better. All right. You gotta keep at that, coach. You know, you gotta keep preaching. So Jeff, let's talk now about Thanksgiving. When I moved to Massachusetts, I knew nothing about Thanksgiving football, and boy, has it been a lesson for me. I started broadcasting in 1978, and so I was a little upset at first that I had to work Thanksgiving Day, and now I'm very upset that I don't have to work Thanksgiving Day. It was part of my life. It's part of my routine. Mine starts from Wednesday night into Thursday, but yours, you coaches, yours actually begins the day after the regular season game, I presume, and you got a week and a half for the most part to prepare. So tell me, Jeff, what's it like an ordinary routine for you getting ready for Thanksgiving?
As a coach?
Yes.
You know, head coach?
Well, as a coach, yeah. We'll go back as a player in a minute.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, we like to give them a couple days off just for us as coaches to kind of plan the whole week. And, we'll take it easy. We'll ramp it up a little bit, do some film study first and foremost, go over. Luckily, last year, which isn't always been the case, or has always been the case, we actually got a chance to have, like, a sub-varsity game against Georgetown. And most years, we just don't have the numbers. And by that point, you know, the attrition of the game, we lose enough guys where we can't field another team if we want to actually play the varsity game. But last season, we were able to. And that kind of is like the springboard. It's good for the varsity kids to see the young guys play. You know, and that was like a good moment. Even though we lost, it was still fun to watch the young kids play. And then, you know, Saturday practice before Thanksgiving was usually I'd bring, and it's something I stole from Dan Bauer when we were coaching together in Beverly. We would do, like treats, like donuts, pastries, bagels, milk, juice, and just like a nice chance to just sit around, hang out, you know, talk, shoot the breeze, and just a reminder why we're actually doing it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, the intensity.
Put up for the game, and then next thing you know, it's a pregame practice, and you're done at like noon, and you have from noon till like 4 a.m. to stew over. Did you practice this? Did I get this? Did we cover this enough? Did we do that? And then you never sleep. So that's why I'm usually asleep at like 7 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay, there you go. Oh, yeah.
The rest of the morning, the game, the collecting of the gear, all the hugs, all the emotion, then you stuff all kinds of food in your belly, and then I don't think I've seen halftime of the 8 o'clock game in years.
I believe it. Oh, God. Well, Coach Fassett was quoting Coach Pugh at Hamilton saying, the turkey sure tastes better when you win. It doesn't taste so good when you lose. And so
that was what we said when I was growing up, because we played Thanksgiving football. You're either eating turkey or you're eating crow on Thanksgiving. No?
Okay, tell me about your experience as a player. You played in high school in New Jersey?
That's correct. I went to Millville Senior High School. Now, it's not much of a place unless you're like a World War II buff or a World War I buff. We have the first defensive airport in the United States.
Okay.
Our school mascot is nicknamed after the P-47 Thunderbolt plane.
All right, this is great. This is a great lesson.
Our well-known alumnus is now the one Mike Trout. He played baseball at our high school.
No kidding. All right.
His father was actually one of my football coaches. He was our offensive line coach.
Ah, that's cool. Way cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I remember when I became an assistant coach in Beverly, and they were in Beverly-Salem Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, yeah, I played Thanksgiving football. I'm like, really? Because you're right, not a lot of states do, and you don't necessarily realize what other states do play Thanksgiving. And they're like, yeah, in 1998, we played in the 100th game between Beverly and Salem. I was like, oh, really? I was like, it's great. I said, well, my junior year in high school, back in 1994, I played in the 100th game of our Thanksgiving Day rival.
Ooh.
They thought, okay. They thought they had some big thing on me. And
right.
I was like, nah, got you beat.
Right. No, we're territorial. We thought, you know, we set the standard. Nobody does it better than we do, right?
Yeah, so this year is the 149th meeting overall. And it would have been the 126th straight Thanksgiving Day game.
Yep.
But they had to move it to Saturday because the other team had to take a two-week COVID break.
Oh, boy. My goodness. Wow, that's quite... So who's the rivalry? Who has it been the same rival?
Same team. Yep. It's the Millville Thunderbolts and the Vineland Fighting Clan.
Oh, so my goodness.
Named after, it's what used to be the poultry capital of the United States.
Okay.
So they had a rooster on their helmet.
The Thunderbolts and the Roosters. That is way cool.
Right.
And as a kid, Jeff, what was it like to participate in that game?
It was awesome. It was, that's what made the year. You know, we had some pretty good high school teams, but you had to win Thanksgiving. Same thing up here. Like, you can make or break whatever your season is. People forget, and the records are always 0-0, no matter what your record is or the other team's record. My senior year, we were 5-3 going into Thanksgiving. The other team was 0-8, and they were winning going into the fourth quarter. We actually had to sack the guy. The next play, he threw an interception, and then two plays later, we scored to go ahead touchdown. But that was like late in the game, and it's like, you never know. You know, that's the
right.
We tell the kid, you have to throw the records out the book because you never know what can happen on Thanksgiving.
All right, man, that is something. All right, cool. Well, Jeff, I plan on to be talking with you guys in early February. I'm gonna count on this being a season, and I regret the fact that we haven't been able to talk for more than a year now, and
no problem.
I miss it. I just miss it so much. I miss going over there, and I miss seeing you guys and seeing all the kids and all the games across the North Shore, but the main thing is we're this close to getting past this thing, so we have to continue to be patient. Anything else you want to mention, Jeff, about
the only thing that this time off has really been tough for? It's now you're watching all these coaching videos and coaching clinics online, and you're wondering how you can fit these 100 new things into what you do. Like, back up.
Really.
Let's get back to what we do well, and we'll start there.
And it starts with the kids, Jeff. I know that's why you guys do it. That's what's so important. Hey, Coach, this has been great. I'll talk to you in a few weeks, but in the meantime,
looking forward to it.
Stay safe, and you know, stay well, and have a very happy Thanksgiving with you and your family.
Excellent. Same to you, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That's Jeff Hutton, who is the Manchester Essex High School football coach.